We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Cowboys first at 14.5, then the Niners are second at 13.5, and the Ravens are third at 11 per game. So those are the top three.
Is that just in their wins, or is that their total?
That's total.
For the course of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So in every game, if you add
ESPN that in, Kansas City is KCTE Independence and K233 DM Raytown, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Garrettson and Toth presents The Shift with Jack Johnson on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
We are back with another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. Yet another Sunday without a win for the Kansas City Chiefs. Know that we are not feeling the best. It's hard to look through the tunnel and find the light. Because if you are a Chiefs fan, I don't think you want to sit here this morning hearing people tell you, well, calm down. They're still going to make the postseason. Calm down. They're still going to win out. Do we really have that confidence? Do we really think there's not going to be any more hiccups? And yesterday, to me, was the boiling point. Yesterday, to me, was an entire season of mishaps, of calls going against them, of the drop passes, of the bad play calls. It just all came to a boiling point. Why did it come to a boiling point? Because Patrick Mahomes lost his cool, I believe, for the first time in his NFL career. Hell, the first time maybe in his college career as well. I mean, you put together those last 10, 11 years, I can't remember a time I saw Patrick Mahomes come unglued like that. And when I sat back and took all of that in, I did not think that Patrick Mahomes was blowing up on an official because Kadarius Toney was offside. You know, I thought maybe it was the Von Miller jump that he was really upset about. But when you really define this all, when you piece together everything, this was him losing his cool about an entire season. I think he is more upset and more frustrated than he's ever been. And that's not a shocking thing to say. This is, let's go out and say it, this is the worst team he's ever had in the NFL. And it also goes to show you how damn good all the other teams have been. But this is the worst team he's ever had. It's the best defense he's ever had. It's the worst overall team that he's ever had. The Bills did not have a touchdown after the early portion of the second quarter yesterday. And the Chiefs still lost that football game. And we could sit here and blame Carl Cheffers and we could blame officiating. We're not going to do that. And here's a big reason why. I know there are still some fans out of this morning going, well, yeah, Kadarius Toney was offside, but you don't call that in that moment. Okay, let's just take a stroll back to the Super Bowl. Remember when Philly fans said you couldn't call that hold in that moment on Juju, and every Chiefs fan said, oh, so now we're just not going to call penalties? This is a very similar instance. Just because it's not called frequently doesn't mean it's not a penalty. Kadarius Toney made a peewee football blunder. Peewee football. All right, I know there's the rumor circulating of, oh, Kadarius did check if he was onside, but then you had the pool reporter and Matt Derrick asking, I say pool reporter, we've had Matt Derrick on the show before. Matt Derrick's been all over 810 before, but he's classified in this situation as the pool reporter going in to talk to officials. And Carl Cheffers said there wasn't even a need to tell him. He was so egregiously offside, there was no need to even alert him. And I agree, Kadarius Toney has to know in that spot, you got to be lined up correctly. You don't need to tell me you were caught up in the moment. You don't need to tell me, oh, you just lost your train of thought. That is a peewee football mistake. And it cost the Chiefs. And the Chiefs wide receiver core has single-handedly lost them four extra games on their schedule. It's baffling. And that, folks, is why Patrick Mahomes, I believe, was furious yesterday. But you know what? It's not a good look. It's not a good look that Mahomes and Reed doubled down in the post game, saying it's embarrassing to the NFL. It's, you know, the worst call he's ever seen. He was offsides. Like, you can't tell me you bit your tongue on the MVS no call last week, but this is the worst call you've seen. This is the call that had to have you restrained by five of your teammates. No, this to me was a boiling over moment. I think he's mad about a lot of things. I think he's mad that his receivers are so unbelievably inept, with the exclusion of Rashee Rice, but they've cost them so many games. So many. I mean, Kadarius Toney, for as little as he's done, has lost them two football games. You know, if we used the baseball data in WAR, what do you think Kadarius Toney's would be right now? -4, leading the league? I mean, two situations. If he just doesn't do anything, they win the football game. And yes, I am including that as the fact that he also caught the lateral pass that Kelce had and scored. I believe if Kelce just catches that and goes down, and there's no flag, he's lined up onside, I think the Chiefs go down and score and win. They were moving the football in that last drive. I think they go down and at least tie, but we know the Bills' record in overtime. They haven't won. I think they win that football game. If Kadarius Toney just lays down on the field, this lines up correctly, lays down on the field, and he just bats down every ball that was thrown to him in week one against Detroit, the Chiefs have two more wins. That's how infuriating this is. That, to me, is why Mahomes blew up. And I think he angled his frustration in the moment toward the official. Like, let's get that straight. He did come unglued. He did go, you know, unhinged because of that call. Like, that was the last thing that happened. You know that when you're really frustrated and you're angry, you might be mad about all things that happened at work, something that happened with your friends, and it might be this minor thing that happens to you. And then you start throwing things, you start breaking things. Like, yes, that one moment tipped you over the edge, but it's not really the thing that tipped you over the edge. It's the stuff that led up to all of it. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is human. You don't think he's frustrated that Brett Veach wasted a year of his prime and now they could still go win it, right? There still is the possibility in sports. The AFC is still wide open. But this was, I believe, a doing done by the Chiefs front office and Andy Reid. And the fact that they won the Super Bowl last year, they kind of wanted to puff out their chest and say, hell, we never need to spend on a wide receiver again. We can roll with this group. They thought Kadarius Toney was a number one. Kadarius Toney, at this point in time, is playing about as good as, who would you say, Sky Moore last year? Like, this would be like taking Sky Moore last year and making him the team's number one. I mean, I get it. You can't pay everybody. You have to pick and choose. But wide receiver is important here. And the fact that Brett Veach and the front office couldn't envision something like this happening, it makes you scratch your head. Travis Kelce's not 28, 29 anymore, even though at times he plays like it. You put all that pressure on guys that have never done it before. I mean, Jake and I talked about this last week leading up to the game. You know, I felt confident the Chiefs were going to win this game. Jake was still concerned, and it turned out Jake was right. This Chiefs team is not one, I think, that you can use the motto that we use in past years of, well, eventually they're going to get things right. You don't want to see them in the postseason. No, I do think you want to see this team in the postseason. I think you really do. Because what scares you about them other than just, well, Patrick Mahomes has done it before? Like, what really scares you? I can't say it's much right now. I mean, do teams even fear Arrowhead anymore? Three of their five losses this year have come at home. They've barely lost a couple of times at home. Almost lost to Denver before they went on their surge. I mean, really? I can't say they are a team that strikes fear other than they've won the Super Bowl before. It feels very much like that last New England team that Tom Brady played for. Like, everybody knew they weren't the best, but Tom Brady was over there, and you didn't want to face him. And then Tom Brady lost to Ryan Tannehill and the Titans that year. I think the Chiefs go further than that. I mean, I think that if they get the right matchup, they're going to win that football game. But at this point, who is the right matchup? Who is? Who do they have a huge advantage over? Now, I'm waiting. Jacksonville? Because the way Jacksonville's played, they lose to Joe Flacco and the Browns yesterday. Is it Miami because they've beaten them before? I mean, you have now opened the door for Buffalo to sneak in. That's maybe the worst part of yesterday. Buffalo can sneak into the postseason now, and that's because of you, because you couldn't get it done. You couldn't close that game. And you know what? If we're going to sit here and blame officials, why don't we blame the fact that the Chiefs had multiple opportunities to go down and win that football game? Rashee Rice fumbles, and as much as I love Rashee Rice and what he's done for the offense, he fumbled in a critical moment when the Chiefs were driving. The Chiefs got the ball back, I might add, in a tie game in the fourth quarter. What did the offense do? Three and out. We going to talk about that at all? Okay. The defense couldn't get off the field on Buffalo's final drive. Or true drive, because I know they got the ball back and kneeled on it. Are we going to talk about that? Not being able to get off the field? Not being able to have more time? We're going to talk about the dumb penalties this offense continues to have? Juwan Taylor can't line up correctly. He false starts every damn game. He holds every damn game. Are we going to talk about any of that? Are we going to talk about the slow start where they fall behind 14-0? Why is it that the fingers are always pointing elsewhere? Why? Why is it always somebody else? You know, and I get it, that you don't throw players under the bus. I did not expect Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid to step up to the podium last night and throw Kadarius Toney under the bus for lining up offsides. Instead, they went off on an official who, by definition, made the right call. That, to me, is a bad look. There has to be some form of accountability. More than just, we got to clean up the mistakes and do better next time. Is anybody else tired of hearing that? You could copy-paste the post-game from the Detroit loss to yesterday. The same stuff would be said. And that, to me, is frustrating. Okay? What are you doing to actively fix that problem? You know, and I do think that a lot of it is, you know, Andy Reid's been that way his entire career. Yesterday might have been the most animated we've ever seen him, but it was blaming an official. And we've said that time and time and again on the show, that blaming an official is a loser's mentality. You should not let officials dictate the game for you. If you leave it up in the hands of the officials, you didn't play well enough for the first three and three quarters of that game. It's quite simple like that. And I just kind of wonder, when is that true accountability going to be held? MVS drops the ball against Philadelphia. What happens? Nothing other than MVS earlier this week just says, I know what you're talking about. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong at all. Just kind of dismissing it. You know, and then anytime there's a bad play, somebody screws up. Well, we got to clean up the mistakes and do better next time. Like, I understand when you've won Super Bowl after Super Bowl and you've had this run of a dynasty, you do have the benefit of the doubt. of, hey, we could still win this thing. And who are you to criticize us because we win all the time? I get that. And they absolutely have the benefit of the doubt. But with this team, it just feels different. Why does it not feel like there is a true sense of urgency? And last night, it just boiled over and turned into a really bad situation. I thought the Chiefs walked away from last night looking really poor. Not just in their overall play, but blaming officials and your best player blaming an official. Like, it wasn't the worst call you've ever seen, Patrick. It wasn't. It's because your wide receiver doesn't know how to line up correctly. It's the same thing with Juwan Taylor not lining up correctly to begin the game. What happened? Every single player made an excuse for him. And it's, oh, well, if they didn't point that out, if Chris Collinsworth didn't point that out, they're not treating Juwan Taylor like this. Folks, it was a false start. Okay? It was a blatant false start. And if you want to say, you know, Philadelphia does the same thing and Buffalo did the same thing, I get there's missed calls from time to time, but I'm not going to pick and choose here about when and when to not blame officials. Right? If we are going to sit here and say the games that the Chiefs won and there wasn't that penalty call. I mean, remember the Minnesota game. L'Jarius Sneed on taking his helmet off and you know, having the controversial no-call PI, they picked it up. Like, are we going to talk about that? No, when we discussed that, it was, hey, yeah, they picked it up. Whether it's a missed call or not, it's a part of the game. So I'm not going to all of a sudden flip the script just because it's Kansas City and say, wow, what an egregious call last night because Kadarius Toney was offsides and you can't call it in that moment. You can if he's offsides. And we all saw his foot on the blue line. He's offsides. What excuse do we have other than you don't call it in that moment? You took away a great play. Yeah, it was a great play. Okay, what about the AFC title game, right? Dee Ford lining up offsides. Dee Ford didn't do squat on that play. Do you just not call offsides because he wasn't in the play? No, he was offsides. By definition, that is the rule. And as much as we hate to hear it, it's the truth. And this team right now, it feels like in 2023 has hit rock bottom. Now, 8-5 at rock bottom is a lot of teams' gold mine. They would love to be 8-5 in first place in the division. You get New England this week. You get the Raiders. Then you get the Bengals and Chargers to close out the year. Three of those four teams are not sniffing the playoffs. So you are going to get in with double-digit wins. Denver's still got a tough schedule. They're only a game back behind you in the AFC West. But we could feel better. And I've said that the last 3 to 4 weeks, but I haven't felt any better. They've lost 4 of their last 6 games. They lost back-to-back games for the first time in 2 years. It's rock bottom for them. And rock bottom means things boil over. They're really unhappy. They're really frustrated. And now from this point, it's either going to continue to crumble or they're going to come together, stay glued together, and go on a tear like they have the last couple of years. But I do not stand on the side of blame the officials for this. Multiple opportunities to win that football game yesterday, and you didn't. Jake, I'll turn it over to you. I mean, I don't stand for the argument yesterday. I don't mind Patrick Mahomes losing his cool at the end. He's frustrated. He's angry. It's an emotional game. This is a high-intensity sport. I mean, Chris Jones lost his cool on Joe Cullen on the sideline yesterday. It happens. These are grown men. It's the heat of competition. That can happen. But doubling down and blaming an official for calling a foul, a infraction, if you will, on a player that absolutely committed that infraction, it's not the right move, in my opinion. So what did you take away from that? And more importantly, what did you take away from yet another loss for Kansas City on the back half of this schedule?
Well, look, you're never going to hear Patrick Mahomes or Andy Reid crush one of their teammates or players. Mm-hmm. That's just not going to happen. Right now, what I think you're in danger of if you're the Chiefs is accountability, right? Because when your head coach and your team leader, your quarterback, your MVP, right? When they start blaming the officials for that, there's a lack of accountability because it falls on Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think you nailed it in terms of this isn't Patrick Mahomes being uber frustrated at that individual call. I think this is the drops, the mental mistakes. Because look, he's making the plays to win the games, or at least put the players in the right position. Like, he's doing his part. He's holding his end, right? And everybody else isn't. And everybody else is extreme. The wide receiver position isn't, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, when you look at this, it's like, why is this happening? Because you're right. Like, the fact that both Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid lost their composure at the same time, and it's uncharacteristic at this point. Like, you have to, for me, I start to wonder, is who's holding people accountable,
mm-hmm.
right? Who's the leader? Who's the disciplinarian, right? And if I look at how this team's made up, what's the biggest difference on the offensive? Because I don't think the Chris Jones situation on the sidelines, I don't think that's a bad thing. Like,
not at all.
I think that should be happening on the offensive side of the ball.
Should.
Right?
Like, it used to be enemy.
Right. And there you go. There's where I was leading to. It's like, what's the difference between this team and the teams of Mahomes' past?
Mm-hmm.
It's Eric Bieniemy. And everybody knew that he's a no-nonsense guy.
Yeah.
He's going to hold you accountable. And I don't know if, you know, if there's just no checks and balances right now mm-hmm. on the offensive side. You know, is there, you know, and this is all hypothetical. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors, in the locker room, in team meetings. All we're left to do is speculate. So here we are, speculating. And I speculate that, you know, Eric Bieniemy might have been one of the guys who would hold Andy Reid in check even.
Yeah.
You know, they've known each other long enough. They've been in this league together for long enough that maybe he's the guy who's like, Andy, that's the wrong call here.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't like that. And Andy Reid respected him enough, said, okay, what do you like? And you know, because this offense looks different. Not just, obviously, the personnel and guys not making plays, but just how this team it runs, like how it seems to be very disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that is disjointed because guys aren't making plays, because you saw some big drops yesterday. You know, James had a big drop. Look, he got crushed, but that ball hit his hands before he was even touched.
We've seen it caught before.
Right. And so, you know, I think those type of plays are leading to the frustration, which you hate to see it. Like, you hate to see that out of, you know, because, look, we would see Tom Brady get pissed off
mm-hmm.
and angry and whine and complain. And look, I'd never I clearly didn't see as many football games of Tom Brady's tenure as we have Patrick Mahomes. I saw a lot of Patriot football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked 11 years in a TV truck for CBS Sports doing stats and graphics for different broadcasts mm-hmm. across the country. So I did see a lot of different teams in the past, and you know, you don't. It's so uncharacteristic, and it's troubling, you know, because it can go two ways. Because they do play a Patriots team, and it's like none of the four teams they have left are going to prove anything, because those are games
not at all.
Like, and so we're really not going to know if this thing's fixed until the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right, what we will know is it has this team quit, because if they lose one of those four games to those four teams, which being, you know, the Patriots, the Raiders, Chargers, and now Bengals, they're playing tough. They went into Indianapolis and put themselves right back into the playoff picture, right? But they still, a Joe Burrow-less Bengals team, you don't have any business losing to any of those four mm-hmm. teams. And if you do, well, then it's like the wheels have come off. But my point being is that we won't really know if this is fixed until the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and okay, all right. Well, that's what we're going to have to wait and see. But, man, you know, it's the Monday after a loss like that. And but the point is that they had it there. And it's more like in the past 5-6 seasons with Patrick Mahomes, you're like, okay, they have the ball. They're down three. They're gonna at least, there's 90% chance mm-hmm. they're gonna go tie this up.
Yeah.
And there's probably a 75% chance they go win this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 2 minutes, a couple timeouts, you know. Now you're like, they get the ball back, and I think I mentioned the stat last week they haven't come back in the fourth quarter yet. They don't have any game tying or game winning drives in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jets game, they came back in the fourth quarter, was 10 minutes and 41 seconds left. That does not count. It's in the last 5 minutes of the game. They've had five different opportunities to do that this season, and they haven't pulled the trigger on it. And so it's more when you get in that position, it's like, what's this team going to do to blow it? You know, what's this team going to do? What crazy thing is going to happen? What horrible penalty is going to put them at third and 20? You know, that's what you're waiting for. And it's a weird feeling. It's very, you know, and look, you mentioned it, 8-5, you know, that's, you know, a lot of teams. Okay, you're top of your division, 8-5, you know, you still have an outside shot at the number one seed. Most teams take that, but I think it's the way they've gotten here is what's concerning, because, you know, they don't give you any confidence that if they're down late in the game that they're going to come back and win it, where it's the exact opposite leading up to this in Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid era. It's like, yeah, give me the ball, make sure there's at least a minute and a half and we're going to win this game over. Like, what are you thinking? You know, what are you thinking giving us the ball back with 30 seconds?
Exactly.
You know? And so, yeah, it's weird, and it's definitely, it's concerning because the ship's taking on water. And it's like, what guys are going to start, you know, getting their pails out and bailing the boat out? Because it's almost, I mean, they lose one of these games, it's panic mode, right? Because then, you know, really the only tough game the Broncos have left, right?
They got Detroit this coming weekend. I think that's about it. Yeah.
I mean, I think they play the Chargers and the Raiders. And so it's, you know, if you somehow blow one of these games and Denver finds a way to beat the Lions, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble.
And it just, it's a confidence thing, really. I mean, I sat on my couch yesterday seeing Patrick Mahomes get the ball back with, what was it, a minute 30? Only needing a field goal, I might add.
Right.
I had 80% less confidence than I did when he had the ball with 13 seconds to go in the divisional game. Like, that's just the state of this offense. There is no big playability. You have to hope for busted coverage. I mean, you know how many check down throws they do? Just the swing passes out of the backfield? I mean, it's just not anywhere near a deep playoff team. And that's the fear right now because, as Jake said, there's nothing we can learn from these next four games. The only thing you can have is a little momentum. But how much momentum do you have beating up on bad teams? These are four teams that you likely are not going to see in the postseason. Maybe Cincinnati sneaks in. They still have a pretty tough schedule to go here, and they can't lose two more games. And if you beat them, they have to be perfect the rest of the way and then hope for a lot of other blunders to happen with other teams out there. But we'll continue our Chiefs-Bills talk after this break. You're listening to The Shift on ESPN Kansas City.
Michael Barrett, sort of what made it boil over, was it that itself, or was it
it's the call, man. Just in that moment, I mean, it's not even for myself or for me. It's just I know how much everybody puts into this game, and for it to happen on a flag, change the outcome of the game. In that moment, I mean, I've played 7 years, never had offensive offsides called. I mean, that's elementary school. We talk about. I mean, you point to the ref, do all that different type of stuff, and it doesn't get called. And if it does, they warn you. And there was no warning throughout the entire game. And then you wait till there's a minute left in the game to make a call like that. It's tough, man. It's lost for words, man. It's just tough because regardless if we win or lose, man, just for it to end up with another game and we're talking about the refs, man, it's just not what we want for the NFL and for football.
So what's the conversation that we have if Kadarius Toney lines up offsides and they don't call it? What's the conversation we're having? What question is asked to Patrick Mahomes if they go back and they find the footage, Kadarius Toney's lined up exactly where he was, and they don't call it? How does Patrick Mahomes answer it? Does he just have to say, I haven't seen the play yet? I mean, that's what I'm wondering here. Right? Because it did get called, you have the ability to say, That's egregious that you call it in that moment to let the official dictate the game and call a penalty that was a penalty. He lined up offsides. And whether Kadarius Toney did or did not point to the official and make sure he was onside, he wasn't. That's the difference here. He was so blatantly offsides, it was easy to call that. You have to know in that spot where you're at on the field. And if you're lining up in a spot like that, it was kind of a unique a scheme before the snap, you got to double and triple check. I mean, if you are that guy that is lining up on the inside, you have two guys behind you, you got to know in that spot, hey, I got to make sure I am behind the line of scrimmage. And you know what? It's just not what this wide receiver group does. They are not very fundamentally sound. Drop passes, penalties, fumbles. And we can point to numerous things this season that have dictated the game. Jake brought up Richie James's drop. That's like the sixth or seventh worst thing that happened to the wide receiver group yesterday. Because they just constantly hurt this team. And I think with bad groups in the NFL, like, there's a difference between not being productive and actively hurting your team. The Chiefs wide receiver group actively hurts the team. Like, their drop passes don't hit the grass. They're batted up in the air and it's picked off. They don't just, you know, have a bad penalty. They have a penalty that takes away points. They can't block that well. They fumble when the offense is rolling. I mean, I'm trying to give a great comparison to past Chiefs teams of units that just completely decided games for them. Like, I'm just thinking constantly Bob Sutton's defense in 18 and 19. Like, that's the last group, and that was an entire unit. Like, it wasn't the defensive line, the linebackers, and the secondary. It was all of them. Right? Maybe you could pinpoint the linebackers because, you know, Hitchens was not that quick anymore. That might have been the year after that. Justin Houston in the last couple of years there. I mean, they just were slower and older linebackers. But the wide receiver room, something that used to be the most feared group of this team, it was how in the hell do you slow down Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson? Now it's like, okay, who of that group is going to actually even run the right route? And if they do run the right route, are they catching the football? Likely not. And you know what we haven't heard, at least to my knowledge, we have not heard any of those wide receivers yet, like, really get fired up in the postgame. You know, really say this is unacceptable from us. You know, this is an absolute, you know, travesty of what we're doing. We are actively hurting this offense. And it sounds harsh. It really does. But you know how much respect I think everybody would give them if just one guy stepped up and said, our group has not been good at all this year, and we need to be so much better. I'm not talking about we got to clean up the mistakes. We got to do better next time. I'm not talking about that players and coaches speak. I mean, really have some emphasis behind it. Our group has lost us football games this year. We have to bail out our group more. We have to give our Hall of Fame quarterback more help than we do. And you know what? You know what we got? We got the highest paid wide receiver on the team saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what problem you're talking about. That's what we've gotten. And that's why I think coaches, fans, players are all frustrated right now. Because it's the same old, same old. And when you finally do have a group boil over, or a player or a coach boil over, it's not at the team. It's at the officials. The one thing we say constantly on the show is, do not let the officials dictate your outcome. You can dictate how you play. You can put yourself in a better spot to beat the Buffalo Bills. You've lost three in a row to them now. three in a row at Arrowhead Stadium in the regular season. You did not want it more than Buffalo did. You were not prepared well enough to win that football game. And that's why I think if you saw a little bit more passion, other than blaming officials or week in, week out saying, oh, you know, it's we got to clean up those penalties, got to clean up those drop passes. What are you doing to improve that? Because nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And we keep going back to, well, hold on, they're in first place, and the other teams could still collapse. Now, you could still have those problems, and you could win out the rest of the way, and the Chiefs can still host the AFC title game. Okay, a lot of shoulda, woulda, coulda right now. A lot of hope for the future. Hey, and I'm excited for, you know, once the postseason happens, you throw out what happened in the regular season. Nothing matters. You got to go win that football game, whether it's at Arrowhead Stadium, whether it's in Buffalo, whether it's in Jacksonville, whether it's in Baltimore, whether it's in the Super Bowl. You got to go beat that team head-to-head. Nothing you do in Week 7, Week 8, Week 9, Week 10 matters at that point. So that's what's going for Kansas City. And they could be this team that everybody's doubting, like the Buccaneers in the first year under Tom Brady, and then all of a sudden they caught fire, and they got to the Super Bowl, and they beat the Chiefs by three scores. Like we could, or four scores, I think it was. We could get to that point. Absolutely. I am never going to doubt or rule out Patrick Mahomes in the postseason because he's won so many damn games before. But we also have to acknowledge the fact that we can't, with this team, fall back on the idea of, well, hold on here. They're still 8-5. They're still fine. They're still good. The last time I remember an Andy Reid team limping into the postseason was 2013, his first year as head coach. Remember, Alex Smith and that group, they had a very easy schedule. They opened up, what was it, 9-0? They finished 2-5. What happened? They lost in the wild card round to the Colts when they blew the 28-point lead. Not saying that would happen again. Different quarterback, different defense, different coaching staff. That's the last time I remember, because what we've become accustomed to in the Andy Reid era is his teams catch fire in a big way after their bye week. Once it gets to late November and December, nobody beats the Chiefs. They go through their lull in October usually, and they're not beating teams by as much as they should. They drop a game or two, but once they get to late November and December, this team is on a roll. Last year, they were on a roll. 2021, on a roll. 2020, on a roll. 19, on a roll. 18, on a roll. I mean, the Alex Smith team, remember that they even had a year in, what was it, 15? When they were 1-5 and won 10 in a row? Like, we are just used to that in Kansas City. This is the first team I can remember in a decade that has limped like this nearing the postseason. And no, there is... They could beat the Patriots on Sunday 48-3. They could beat the Raiders 57-0. They could beat the Bengals 28-0. And they could beat the Chargers 45-0. That doesn't prove anything to me. Nothing. Not one bit. Because none of those teams are true threats in the postseason.
Now, if they put 47 up on the pass, I'll be a little impressed. Pats have a good defense.
Okay, they have a good defense. But no threat offensively.
Right. No.
No threat offensively. And that's kind of why I get back to the point of, once you get to January, if you get in, nothing matters. Nothing matters of what you did. Other than, of course, if you can set yourself up nicely. I'm sure Baltimore, if they grab the number one seed, they're going, it mattered what we did in the regular season, because we weren't winning this thing if we didn't get the number one seed. Like, maybe it'll be fun this year in the postseason to watch the Chiefs play as this team everybody doubts. They're not that good anymore. The offense isn't good. The wide receivers aren't good. I mean, I'm sure that Baltimore and Miami are still very wary of the fact that they could run into the Chiefs in the divisional round. I am sure they don't like that matchup, because you have a team with championship pedigree and one that is just playing better than the team with championship pedigree right now. I mean, it'll be fun to see Patrick Mahomes play a road postseason game. I'm hoping we do get that opportunity, because I still think the Chiefs win the AFC West. I don't see Denver, you know, finding a way to win out and the Chiefs lose another game on their schedule or two games on their schedule. So that'll be a good thing. You know, they'll be 4 and or they'll be the probably the three seed. I would go as far to say the three seed, and they'll get a. And they better hope they don't get Buffalo again. But they could get a Cleveland. They could get an Indianapolis. They could get a Houston in that opening round. And then they got to pack their bags and go on the road. And I think I'd be looking forward to that. But right now it's hard to be looking forward to anything with the Chiefs. It is really hard to be looking forward to something like that. Chiefs lose 20-17 to the Buffalo Bills at Arrowhead Stadium, their second straight loss. For the first time in 2 years, they have now lost three games at home, five on the year. They're 8-5, just a one-game lead in the AFC West. We'll take our final break of the show. When we come back, Jake and I will give our final thoughts on that Chiefs loss to the Buffalo Bills next on ESPN Kansas City. We are wrapping up the shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I'm your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. Jake, four games to go. Bad opponents on the schedule, with the exclusion of the Cincinnati Bengals, who now look just as fine with Jake Browning. You said, I said, that there's really nothing you can gain by beating these teams. Now, I believe no matter what margin of victory you have, it doesn't matter. You think a little bit differently if you hang near 50 points on New England's defense. You can take something away from that. Sure, I can absolutely see that.
It's not going to happen. They're not going to hang half a hundred on them. But I think in terms of, they can make improvements and we can see them get better, but it really is not going to be telling because those quality of opponents are not what they're going to see in the playoffs. So that's kind of where you're going with that and where I was going with that. Like, the proof's going to be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. It really has to be. That's the thing. It has to be this team just coming together, thinking the world is against them, everybody doubts them, and they go run it back to the Super Bowl. That's the only. But again, it's all hope. We're all just hoping. There's no definitive proof with this team they can actually do it. Right? There's no definitive proof. I keep watching these games, and like a part of me inside goes, this is going to be the game. This is the one to go and just give you a little bit of confidence.
Oh, yesterday was on the table.
Oh,
I mean,
to come back again, down
yeah,
two scores.
That's what I mean. It's like yesterday was on the table. It's like, okay, this is where they get right. This is
yeah.
where they get right. This
perfect opportunity.
Yeah, they stepped themselves back in. They would have only been a game out of the one seed. Okay, this is where they get right. They prove it. They're at home. The weather was perfect. You know, it's like everything was set up for them to say, okay, there it is. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we've been waiting for all season long. Okay, it's in them. They got it. All right.
Mm-hmm. And you thought, too, we discussed this on, maybe it was Wednesday or Thursdays, Buffalo and all the distractions they had, Sean McDermott, and what did his players do, what Tony Romo and Jim Nance were reporting yesterday, like they rallied around Sean McDermott. Whether you think that's okay or not, they rallied around. And they went into Arrowhead with their season on the line. They were desperate, and they won. Are the Chiefs not desperate enough right now? Like, even Justin Reed said last week in the weekly press conferences, we're desperate for the one seed. But it's really one guy saying it. I almost wonder, Jake, if this team just kind of thought things were going to get better. Like, it's like, oh, that loss doesn't matter. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. And now it's you've run out of opportunities. What game on the schedule makes you think they're fixed? They're not fixable. This is who they are. You don't walk into week 15 and just see a completely different team. You could have a great game. The Chiefs could play fantastically against an awful New England team. That does not mean they're fixed. This is who they are.
And look, who did you just mention? Justin Reed.
Yep.
And what side of the ball does he play on?
The defense.
Right. And so who is standing up on the offensive side of the ball and saying those things?
Nobody.
Right. That's the concerning thing. The guys on the defensive side, which has been the better side of football for this team this year. They're the ones stepping up. And it's like, at a certain point in time, they have to kind of get sick of why are we answering these questions for the offense. You know, because I, you know, Stephen St. John and Todd Lebo were covering the game last night for Sports Radio 810. There was not a wide receiver to be seen.
Yeah.
There was, and, you know, Travis Kelce refused to speak, rightfully so. MVS, not talking today, guys. So it's like, where's the accountability, man? Like, who's the guy saying, hey, this is on us? If this is going to get right, it's gonna happen with the guys in the wide receiver room. We have to do better. We have to help Patrick Mahomes. Patrick has been doing everything he needs to be doing, and we're not holding our end of the bargain. Like, where's that guy? He doesn't exist.
No.
These guys are pointing fingers at the referees, or, you know, MVS complaining after the non-PI call in Green Bay. It's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
What would you think of the call? I don't know. I was on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, man, like, there's little to no accountability from that position on this team. And it's, you know, what has to happen? In season, I don't think there's anything that can happen. Those guys have some talent. Are they going to start making plays? I don't know. It seems like it's a mental, at this point in time, it's a mental deficiency.
Yeah.
It's a lack of confidence that's not coming back. I mean, what I think will happen is an overhaul to the wide receiver position, like we saw after the Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl to the offensive line. After they lost that Super Bowl to the Buccaneers, they overhauled that offensive line, and I think that's when I think the only holdover you're going to see is Rashee Rice, maybe Sky Moore if they're just unwilling to give up on that project. But I don't see how any of these guys come back next year.
There's no way that they should, really. I mean, Rashee Rice, I feel gutted that he was one of the guys that did have a costly play yesterday in the fumble. I mean, he would have had one of his best games. If he doesn't fumble, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, you're excited to make your number two next year. You go out and get yourself a number one. You add a number three, number four. I mean, this was just a poorly assembled group. And you're exactly right. I mean, it just... You look on the sideline, too. Like, there's so many shots they get of Kelce and Mahomes, and they just look so depressed in that moment. Like, and yeah, when you're playing poorly, you are going to be a bit depressed, but it's almost like there's this slow burn. There's a fire, and there's a slow burn. Like, you know it could turn into an inferno at the right time, but it's like nobody's adding any sticks or any leaves to it. It's just sitting there as a slow burn. Now, somebody... Like, somebody could go in, throw a log on the fire, and there you go. That's a four-game winning streak in the postseason. But then it's not continuous. It's not somebody else adding a log. It's this defense trying to add logs to the fire. The offense, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is always going to be that guy that's trying to add someone. Travis Kelce, absolutely. Isaiah Pacheco, absolutely. You know, even the interior guys in the offensive line, Tooney, Creed, Trey, all of those guys, they are going to try to do their best. But as for the rest, it's like they're not providing. Usually in years past, guys that weren't providing – they were trying to say, you know, I need to be better. I need to do this better. This is on me. You're not seeing it this year.
Well, they look like they're having fun in the previous years. It does not look like they're having fun.
Not at all. It does not
look like there's any joy in the way they play, you know, and that's the difference. Like, they are just grinding it.
Yeah.
And they're not having fun. I mean, look, I can't speak for them. It looks like they're not enjoying themselves.
And maybe it's just because it's a bad stretch right now, but this is... What, a third of the season right here? Six games. Six games, and you've only won two of them. It's not something you're used to in Kansas City, but I'm not into blaming the officials, man. Now, you got to bounce back. This is the only thing I can say here. You got to bounce back. You got to win these next four, get hot in the postseason, roll the dice. This is the team. I'm just rolling the dice in Vegas. There is Ray Charles, so it's time to go. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. You take it easy, Kansas City. Treat me so mean, you're the meanest old woman that I've ever seen. I guess if you say so, I'd have to pack my things and go. That's right, you can go, Jack, and don't you come back no more.